All right. And then I want to say a shout out. I'm going to give a slight shout out to Jordan because I heard he passed the buck a lot. But I want to thank specifically Leslie for, we edit the tapes. In sorts, you didn't take out the husband-wife thing. Y'all won't make me look bad. But anyway, we thank y'all so much for doing that. And we're glad that Admiral Robert Perry's back from the Antarctic. And he's here with us now doing what he does best. All right, everybody ready? We're going to talk today about the fourth revelation, the five greatest revelations I have received from God since becoming a Christian. So if I say something really bad like that, raise your hand real quick and I'll correct it. All right, number four, and this is going to bother some of you because I'm going to ask you a question. But I'm not going to make it a long, I'm not going to wait for the answer a long time. But here's the fourth revelation I've gotten, and I got this one not directly from the Bible, but I got this through a man, but I got the revelation into my own heart. Everybody cool with that? Here it is. Faith is not something you do to get God to do something. Faith is just your positive response to what God has already accomplished by grace. Why don't we all say that, and then I'm going to ask the question. Ready? Faith is not something you do to get God to do something. Faith is just your positive response to what God has already accomplished by grace. Now, we've titled this the Power Twins, Faith and Grace, because I don't want to plagiarize everything that Andrew Womack ever does. So I gave it my own title, Faith and Grace. But I'm going to ask you a question. I want everybody to look up here. There's actually three things in there. In that phrase, there's actually three things in there that's a requirement. Three things. We know about faith and we know about grace, but there's a third thing in there that's going to be essential if this stuff's going to work for us. Can anybody briefly tell me what's that, what's the third thing in there, and who can sing the Jeopardy theme song while we're waiting? Do 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 do. Now, faith is a noun, belief is a verb, so we're going to treat those together. There's a third thing in there that's the actual foundation of it. It's the foundation of the whole thing. All right, I love y'all. And this is why y'all pay me the big bucks. I want everybody to understand that, do we? I get paid the big bucks because I'm going to tell you what the third thing is. The foundation of this whole thing is you have to know what God has already accomplished by grace. Now, huh? Come on. You. No, it is. It's in there. It's. Yes, it is. It's in there, but you have to go beyond the words. It's just like accounting. You got to go beyond the cash in the bank. No. What's in here is the third thing, and it's actually the foundation of it. In order for faith and grace to work, everybody listening to me, y'all love me still, don't you? Y'all understand this is a Bible class, and I wish the whole town was here for this Bible class. I do, everybody. The whole thing hangs on is you have to know what God has accomplished by grace. You have to know it before you can operate the power twins of faith and grace. I have discovered something on my TV that has been life-changing for me. We have YouTube TV. Anybody else have YouTube TV? And I'm talking about where you can watch the football games and ESPN, the YouTube TV. But then there's just a normal YouTube TV or whatever that is, just normal YouTube. That's all I watch except for sports. Andrew Womack's on there. Everybody, you can Google anybody on there, search it. And anyway, I came across a gentleman by the name of F.F. Bosworth. F.F. Bosworth, I got a lot of verses. I'm going to quit acting like I got to get this all done. But again, you know, we had a dear lady here with us last week. I never know if I'm going to see these people again. We had a whole row of family back here one couple of weeks ago. I never know if I'm going to see them again. So I'm trying to give them everything I got as quick as I can get it to them. And that's why a husband shall leave a husband and leave his wife. Amen. And that's why I told people I didn't, my last cigarette was 1996, not 1985. But anyway, this gentleman, F.F. Bosworth, wrote one of the most famous books in Christianity called Christ the Healer. If you've never read it, I recommend you get it. But on YouTube, it had this little sermonette or this little thing called Why All Are Not Healed by F.F. Bosworth, okay? And then this little article gives you 14 reasons why we don't see the supernatural in the church anymore. 14 reasons. I'm not going to read all 14. I'm really not even going to take the time to read this one, although I'm going to tell you that almost everything that he talks about, I have taught my entire career here at Life in Christ Church. Almost everything. The first thing he talks about is ignorance that physical healing is part of the gospel. In other words, you can't believe for physical healing if nobody's ever told that to you. You can't believe for emotional stability unless somebody's told you that's been provided to you. You can't believe for financial prosperity unless somebody's told that to you from the scriptures. So the foundation of everything that anybody has, and you're going to learn this next time in my next revelation, is what do you know? Because you can't believe beyond actual knowledge. You can't believe beyond actual knowledge. You have to know something to believe it. Everybody follow me? Because of time, I'm not going to read this, but if you're interested, you can go on YouTube, you can type in F.F. Bosworth, and he'll give you these 14 things. And I've taught basically every one of the 14 things he talks about. But I'm going to tell you something, and again, I don't want to dare. This guy was part of the Great Healing Revival right after the Great Depression, and this was the springboard to a man like Oral Roberts getting raised up. And I'm not going to dare say that this guy didn't affect and impact more people than I did, but I'm going to tell you there's a missing ingredient in this, and I taught all this, I believe all this stuff, but there's a missing ingredient in it, and the missing ingredient was the concept of grace, the concept that God is doing what he's doing because he did it by grace, not because we earned it by performance. Very important. Everything God has done for us, he's done by grace. He's not doing it for us because of performance. I had to learn that and get that revelation because I had turned faith into a work. And faith really, when you learn the concept of grace and love, faith really is not that difficult. What is difficult is overcoming unbelief. Can I get an amen? So let me go now. Let's go to the verses. I've got a bunch of them up there. I'm not sure I'll get them all done today, but I want everybody to understand that concept. We're going to use this as our golden text about the revelation number 4. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Notice, we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. But in order to know what you're standing in, or in order to understand the grace you're standing in, somebody has to tell you about it. Okay, now, remember what my first revelation was? What was the very first revelation I got from reading my Bible by myself alone? I'll put it up if you need to remember. I got epistle-lighted. Do you know when you can tell you are epistle-lighted? And again, this is a lifelong process. Don't anybody get to thinking that I've arrived and you know, anybody that knows me knows better than that. It's a lifelong journey. But let me tell you when you know that you've turned the corner and you've become epistle-lighted. In your own personal life, I didn't say for somebody else, but when you know you've started to be epistle-lighted, is that in your own personal life, you no longer ask God for anything. See, that's going to shock people that are in religious churches. That's going to shock them. But when you get epistle-lighted, you no longer ask God for anything. When you get epistle-lighted, you simply start thanking God for what he's already done. That needs to be written down. You simply start thanking God for what he's already done. I always know when I'm in unbelief. You know when I know I'm in unbelief? When I start asking God for something that I know he already did for me. I'll never forget, I have to put stories in, when we had this COVID-19 thing, probably the greatest scolding, I think, and again, when the Lord scolds, I don't mean he's mean or angry or nothing, but the Lord's straight up. He's a straight shooter. That's why a lot of people, really, when they get acquainted with Jesus, run from him. Because if you're not ready for the truth, you're not ready for Jesus. Because Jesus is the truth. When COVID-19 was up, me and Teresa went up when we had our house in Gilbert. It was one of them, the Masters Golf Tournament was supposed to be played. It was in April, and it was 75 degrees. I was sitting out in the yard looking up at the beautiful sky, how wonderful the weather was. And I said, Lord, why aren't you doing anything about this COVID-19 thing? And I mean to tell you, he said, son, you're not serious, are you? In the immortal words of John McEnroe, you cannot be serious. He said, you're not serious, are you? He says, you know better than that. And I said, oh, man, I know I do. What in the world? I see I got caught up in unbelief. God's done everything he's ever going to do about COVID-19. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ and healed all our diseases. Amen. No plague will come nigh your dwelling. Psalm 91. He said, I'm not doing any of this. I've done everything I need to do. It's up to you to go tell people. Amen. Take your mask off and go tell people that Jesus loves them. I still see people in cars with masks on. For the love of Almighty God, scaredy cat. Actually, you're hurting yourself. You're breathing in all that stuff in your car. If you haven't bathed, you're breathing in your own odor. Anyway, epistle-lighted people, you'll know you've turned the corner when you start understanding in your own individual life, you're not asking God to do a thing, you're thanking God for what he already did. That's worth coming this morning just to hear that. Amen. Now, again, how do I know when I'm in unbelief? I'll start asking God for things I know he's already done for me. God, I've been coughing for a week from going out walking the day before Christmas Eve. I got something down in my lungs or something. I don't know. Bless God, I've been coughing every night. Amen. And I've had so much sympathy from this one right here. I haven't. She just sleeps right on while I'm coughing. Jordan, you don't even know I'm up coughing, do you? But you know what? I don't need to ask God why to take this cough from me. I need to rebuke it in the name of Jesus and take my authority and command this thing out of my body in the name of Jesus. And thank God that by his stripes I'm healed. Why can I do that? Why? Because I'm spectacular? No, because I have the knowledge of what's been provided for me. So in order for faith and grace to work, the first thing you got to get is knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So now, next verse. I'm going to take you through this. So the first thing you got to do is come in contact with the truth. You got to come in contact with the truth. You know, you look around here and you see our little Bible study group and you think, man, you know, there's not that many folk. But listen to me. You need to rejoice and be happy because you have come in contact with some truth that'll set you free. Are you listening to me? And listen to me now. Listen, here's the general concept. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So let me just rephrase it. How can I operate faith and grace? How can I operate faith and grace if I haven't believed in it? Follow me? And how shall they believe in faith and grace if they have not heard it? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, somebody's got to bring you this information. Now, ultimately, it's up to you to get in your own Bible and get the revelation, but it's got to be introduced to you somehow. It's not going to be osmosis. It's not just going to fall down off of you out of the sky. You got to get the right information. The most important thing anybody can ever do, and this is going to lead into my fifth revelation, the most important thing anybody can ever do is get around the right people. And it can also be the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's the most important thing you can ever do, and it can be the hardest thing you can do because you may discover that the people you love the most didn't tell you the right information. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else too. Everybody that gets in contact with what we're talking about, they may reject it, they may run from it, but it'll never leave them. Can I get an amen? So watch this. Go to the next text. Everybody see that? See, go back to that real quick. I want to make sure you get that verse. See what I'm saying? You can't believe something you don't know. And how are you going to know something? Somebody's got to tell it to you. See? And this F.S. Ballsworth, the main point he made about why there's no, the supernatural's waned, and this was in 1948. That article was 1948, 75 years ago. You know what the number one problem was the church had while they weren't seeing the supernatural? Was because of ignorance. And ignorance is not a bad word. Calling somebody stupid is, but ignorant is not a bad word. It's because people simply don't know. The church has been baptized in unbelief. Baptized in it. They've made up all kinds of excuses. So I'm going to take that away from you this morning. Not you. You guys are ready. If you're listening by radio or internet, I'm going to slide that rug right out from under you. I hope some of you are headed to church. That's what I hope. I got all kinds of people listening. All types of people. Amen. All races of people. And I hope if you're on your way to church, I hope you hear this before you get in the door. Because the supernatural power of Almighty God has never, ever passed away. Unbelief is what's caused people not to have it, not to experience it, including in my own life. So make sure everybody understands that. Shouldn't take me a week to get over this cough. Amen. You listening to me? All right, here we go. Watch this. Next verse. One of the great, this is some of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. Follow me on this because we're going to kill some religious cows this morning. Then Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Who is he? Is he the head of the Christian church? Is he the person that we worship? Is he the reason why we're here? I hope so. I know you come to hear me, but I hope you come to hear Jesus through me. Really, I hope so. Amen. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Man, I love that. He went about all the cities and villages. He didn't stand around and do nothing. He wasn't in his prayer closet praying and saying, God, send revival. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages. What was he doing? Teaching in their synagogues. Notice that teaching comes before preaching. The greatest thing that's lacking in the church today is ministers who know how to actually teach the full gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because most ministers, I won't even go there, but we just got to pray. Let me finish the text. You'll see what I'm talking about. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Don't let that slide by you. Everybody know what the word gospel means? Say it out loud. What's the word gospel mean? Good news. Preaching the good news of the kingdom. Was he going around preaching the wrath of God? He went around preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He went around preaching the good news of the kingdom. What kingdom? Kingdom of God. And healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, let's go back to the phrase, because I do want to throw this in here. Let's go back to the revelation phrase number 4. Let's go back to that. Faith is not something you do to get God to do something. Faith is just your positive response to what God has already accomplished by grace. So I said there's 3 things in here. There's faith, there's grace. Now that I've given you the answer, can I ask you the question? What's the 3rd thing that's in there? Knowledge of what God has accomplished by grace. You've got to know what God has accomplished by grace. Everybody cracking? Okay. In the first part of our ministry, I knew a lot about faith, right? Regina, would you say I taught faith well? I think your all's favorite Bible verse was Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. And then you know for a fact that I spent a great deal of my ministry telling people how good God was, which is grace. You know, what's the number one revelation God put in my heart? What's the number one thing God put in my heart? God is not doing bad things to people. Another way of saying that, God, by grace, has done a lot of great things for us. And I, in my career, I did a really good job of teaching people about the goodness of God, the grace of God, in that, from that level, from that concept, and about faith. But I was missing the one ingredient. So what I was going to tell you is, how many of you have ever heard the song by Meatloaf called Two Out of Three Ain't Bad? Now, we were talking about it. Brian, you ever heard that song? I didn't think you would have. I didn't think. James Taylor has. Donnie and Becky have. John has. Jerry, you never heard it in your life, have you? And I want you. How many of you have never heard of Meatloaf? I'm talking about the group Meatloaf. Anyway, we were talking about the lyrics of the song. I'm going to take just another. You got to make it a little humorous, keep you alive. Every now and then I've seen a couple of you want to doze off. You never doze off in Mark service. Anyway, I said, Teresa, what was that song? And she said it was Two Out of Three Ain't Bad. It says, I want you, I need you, but there ain't no way I'm ever going to love you. So don't be sad, because two out of three ain't bad. And I was thinking to myself, who wants to hear that? I mean, if you don't love me, I want you to leave me. If you don't love me, I don't want you to want me. I had to throw that in. Two out of three ain't bad. And Teresa was singing it, of course. She knew the word. I said, what is this? She said, and don't be sad, because two out of three ain't bad. Well, I'll say this. I got it started. So I want to say this for the first part of our ministry. Don't be sad. At least I taught faith in the goodness of God, and two out of three ain't bad. This place ought to be packed. It hurts my feelings sometimes. It really, truly does. I mean it. People, you know. Now listen, you do understand one thing about us. We've limited ourselves tremendously by going to 8:30. You got to know that. And we've also limited ourselves tremendously because we don't have anything for the kids. Amen. Frankie and them were coming, bringing those kids. I was going to start giving all the kids $5 if they came. That's our children's church. Here, bless God, I'll prove it to you. Come here. Bless God, there you go. Can you buy a Happy Meal anymore for $5? But that's all you're getting from me, honey. Your parents will have to kick that in. I did. I thought about that. But you don't have any. So you know we're limiting ourselves. But we did it on purpose. I want to say this. Me and Teresa have a conversation about this. We did it on purpose because we were a full-service church up to 2014. After our second church split, none of us in here had the energy to do it anymore. Bryant, nod your head, yes. Donnie and Becky, nod your head, yes. James, nod your head, yes. I'm talking about my life. Y'all were in the middle of that, right? We decided that we needed to do what we do, and that's teach the Bible. And then I found out that through the internet, I could teach it to everybody all over the world. And it brought me great solace. Amen. Now, it still bothers me when I know that people ought to be getting this information on a regular basis. But it's out there now. Amen. And I read something that really set me free. Our responsibility is to put the information out. As a minister of the gospel, my responsibility is to put the information out. It's not my responsibility what people do with it. Got that? Boy, that helped me a lot. That helped me a lot. All right, let's go back. Let's go back. Let's do this. Matthew 9:35. James already got his sign going up somewhere up there. All right, see that? What did he do? He taught. He preached the good news of the kingdom. He healed every sickness, every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, this is Jesus. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. What moved him? What moved him? What moved the Savior of the universe, the Savior of the world? Compassion for humanity. He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Verse 37, here's the answer. Then he said to his disciples, everybody say disciples. How many of you know there was more than 12 of them? Get that silly stuff out of your head and don't listen to some doubt-peddling reprobate preacher that tells you miracles went away when the apostles died. Reprobate. Go sell vacuum cleaners. See, we're out of the Christmas season. Bah humbug! Are you listening to me? Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What's he mean? It means I can't help anybody if I don't get them the right information. It means I can't do anything for you if I can't get you the right information. The key to everything is getting the right information. You got to let people know what I've done. You got to let people know what's happened to them through my death, burial, and resurrection. Then you give them that information. Then they understand that it was done by grace, that you didn't earn it, you can't perform for it, and you simply have to release your faith to receive what God has already done. And there's not 1% of the Christian church that knows that. You guys are privileged. You are privileged. You may not know it, and I'm privileged to have you. We're both privileged. We need to tell that to people. Come what may, tell that to people. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Verse 38. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field. Now let me ask you this. Look what he did in verse 35. Watch this. The person that said send out laborers, who was the person that said send out laborers? Pray. Who was the person? The person that said send out laborers, what was he saying to people when he went into cities and villages? He was teaching, he was preaching the good news of the kingdom, and he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Do you believe the people that he prayed that sent that go out and tell his message, do you expect them to say something different than what he said? Man, I feel like Mad Dog Russo. If y'all don't know him, it's a sports guy. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous how we watered down the gospel, how we watered down the good news of Jesus Christ. If he's praying his laborers to go out into the labor, into the harvest field, do you think that the people he's sending out in the harvest field will be saying things differently than he said them? If somebody works for me and represents me, do I expect them to say the same things I'm saying? Amen. So the laborers that he sent out, should we go out and should we be teaching? Should we be preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Should we be healing every sickness and every disease among the people? How are we going to do that? You got to get epistle lighted. You got to find out who you are in Christ. You got to get the courage and the boldness and live for Jesus and know that God has already provided everything that everybody will ever need. And it's up to us to find that out. And it's up to us to release our faith and get it into our lives and the lives of others. You can actually benefit other people with what you know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Praise God. See, I can't make that. I put the information out. I'm not responsible for what people do with it. Next verse, Jordan, after Matthew. What's after Matthew? Now, here we go. Here we go. Watch this. Watch this. As his divine power. Oh, someday in the great by and by. Oh, when we get to heaven, it'll be wonderful. It'll be great. It'll be fantastic. As his divine power has given. Everybody say it. How do you know when you're epistolated? It's a has given concept. It's not a will be done. It's a has been done. It has been done. As his divine power has given to us all some things, little dab of do you, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Shout a little bit over that. Amen. But look, how? Through knowledge. Through knowledge. If all you've ever done is sit in a church and a preacher said that all these things passed away with the apostles and God's taking you and making you sick and causing this trouble in your life because he wants to get you to a place that you need to learn certain things through that, then you're never going to experience the all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I'm going to get into that. Everybody with me? Through the knowledge of who? Through the knowledge of who? Who's him? Matthew 9:35. went about teaching in the synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. In other words, we're supposed to be the lifeline to humanity. We're supposed to be the lifeline to humanity. Because we have all things that pertain to life and godliness on the inside of us through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Say that out loud. Come on. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. See, that word virtue means He calls us that. He called it because we didn't deserve it. Virtue. All right, next verse, George. Here we go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, here it is, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Somebody said, oh, see, that says heavenly places. Oh, that's the only place the blessings are. But guess what? Guess what? There's more than Ephesians chapter 1. There's Ephesians chapter 2. And I didn't put it in the lineup, so I'll quote it. And I might misquote it. Now I know you'll correct me. Ephesians chapter 2 says, He's raised us up together and made us sit together with Him in heavenly places. All those blessings are mine because I'm sitting with Him in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. We've let the devil rob us of who we are and what we have and what we can do. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So what am I doing? I'm doing the foundation. You got to know these things before we can get you to operate your faith and your grace. You got to know that. See, how do you know when you're in unbelief if you're a Christian? First of all, you won't even know you're in unbelief until you hear this information. But when you hear this information, you'll know you're in unbelief when you start asking God for stuff He's already done. What you have to do is thank God for what He did for you. And then you have to resist the rotten, stinking devil. You've got to submit to God, submit to this truth, submit to these realities, and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, you can make it work 100% in your life. You can't make it work 100% for somebody else, but you can at least get them started. Amen? Bring them some information. Rattle their cage. Tell them, bless God, putting holy water on your face don't do you no good. Getting baptized in water, if you don't believe in Jesus, don't do you any good. You got to know Him and the power of His resurrection. You know, I'm preaching better than y'all responding. Amen. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Next verse. Here it is. I'm going to take you through. I just finished a study of the book of Romans, so you're going to see a lot of Roman verses. Have I made any mistakes y'all need to catch me up on? Meatloaf is a solo artist, not a group. There is actually a guy that goes by the name of Meatloaf. And he's dead. You know why? Because he never loved anybody. 2 out of 3 was bad. Throw that in somehow, James, in that edit. Kara, I know this is unusual how you stop in the middle of a sermon, but this is a Bible class, interactive Bible class. Be ready. You already failed the first question. Praise God. All right, here we go. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. Now here's what I want to shift gears. So you have to have the knowledge. Then once you get the knowledge, it's through faith and grace that you inherit the promises. Okay? Now, for the first part of our ministry, we did a real good job with the faith and the telling people God was doing good things, not bad things. And a lot of people like that. They like that on the front end. Then they find out it ain't automatically, it don't automatically work. And so I thought what you had to do was get people up to a certain faith level. And then when they got up to a certain faith level, then boom, automatically it worked. Found out through the scriptures that Jesus said the faith the size of a mustard seed. Said it twice. Said it in Matthew 17 and Luke 17. So it's not the size of your faith. It's how much unbelief you can get out of your heart for your faith to work. Okay? And so this F.F. Bosworth stuff, when you get into the 14 reasons, one of the things that he focuses on, I'm going to get to this, is unconfessed sins. And I want to tell you, you got to be real careful with that. Real careful. Because certainly, if you're abusing your body and doing things to your body, you cannot expect to walk in health. Okay? If you never exercise, if you overeat, if you abuse your body with alcohol or cigarettes, which I haven't had since 1985. Everybody gets that, right? Amen. If you're blatantly involved in a sin that you know your conscience is telling you that it's wrong. You know, I don't talk about this much, but I know people and I know humanity and I know church. There's an epidemic of porn addiction in the body of Christ. Epidemic. Guarantee you. You know why? It's so easy to get to. It's easy. Real easy. Amen. You got to overcome it. I've overcome it. I can stand up here and talk about it because I've overcome it. Amen. I don't know if it's because I'm 64 now, but I have overcome it. Amen. But my point is, if you're doing something blatantly egregious and you know it violates the Word of God, certainly you need to get that settled. Does everybody follow me? You got to. But the danger of talking about unconfessed sins is that every single one of us sitting in this room right now have unconfessed sins. Somebody said, well, I don't. Oh, let me ask you a question. Anybody ever cut you off in traffic? Anybody, huh? Anybody ever cut you off in traffic? I'm trying to think of something that upset. Oh, I'll tell you what upset me. I'm sitting at home where, you know, it's a holiday weekend. We closed up on Friday. Teresa made her people work on Friday, slave driver. Amen. I'm sitting at the house on Friday. I get a text from a guy and says, you know, you think I ought to make an estimated payment? I said, dude, it's Friday, December the 29th. Our office is closed. Shouldn't you have called me about December 1st and talked about that? But I set him free. I said, you don't have to make the payment till January. The people have a hard time with this. You can make your last estimated payment in January 15 of 2024. And people say, well, that's 2024. I said, well, what are you paying me for? Shut up and listen to what I'm telling you. So, I mean, that got me agitated. I'm like, man, I'm sitting here. I don't want to worry about his estimated payment. And then I had to think about, does he make it? That's an unconfessed sin. Amen. You know, over the holidays, I've ate more than I'm supposed to. You know that? Oh, don't y'all look at me like that. That's an unconfessed sin. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Don't get bogged down in that, because God has forgiven you of your sins, and the thing you've got to overcome is a guilty conscience. Now, again, if you're involved in something egregious, you know, if you're brutally mean to your wife, or you know, you treat your kids like dirt, or, you know, everybody follow what I'm saying? But you can't confess everything you ever did wrong. You never go home. Amen. That's under the blood. And if you have done something that you know you need to quit doing, you get it under the blood. James 5, 13, 14 says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. It says that not only will the elders of the church, by the prayer of faith, heal you, but if you've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. God's not holding your sins against you. Only you are, and the devil. Did you hear that? Oh, I have to, that's something I have to overcome on a constant basis. Every time I get alone with God and get in his presence, and I feel the presence of God, which you don't have to walk by that, but when I do, you know what I want to do the whole time I'm doing it? I want to tell him how much I've screwed up, and I'm sorry I didn't do more. And he don't want to hear that. People don't understand it. He don't want to hear that. He knows I screwed up. He knows I could have done more. You read your Bible 30 minutes, the devil says you should have read it an hour. Amen. You gave $100 in the offering, the devil says you could have done 150. See, you can't play that game. You got to get to the place where you understand that by the grace of God, He's reconciled us to Himself. He's not holding against us our trespasses. I said something last week. I want to make sure everybody understands it. I said it last week. If going to heaven, the requirement for going to heaven is that you have to make Jesus Christ the complete Lord of your life. See, I want people to misunderstand this. Nobody goes. Because that means that 24 hours a day, let's see how you say it, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, everything you focused on would only be Jesus. No, what you got to do is acknowledge His Lordship, admit that He saved you, admit that He's God, and then the more of your life you surrender to Him, the more beneficial your life will be. But if you're expected to get into heaven because you did everything exactly right, you won't make it. You make it. See, whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John said it, John 3:36, John the Baptist. Whosoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever doesn't have the Son, the wrath of God abides on him. What's that mean? It means you're paying for your own sins. See, if you don't believe in the Son, you got to pay for your own sins. You got to pay for the fact you didn't want that guy calling you on December 29th. You got to pay for the fact you didn't like that guy cutting you off in traffic. But Jesus paid for my sins. Jesus paid for that. Jesus paid for me messing up and screwing up. Amen. Everybody tracking? Everybody see the balance on that? Now, if you're doing something and you know your conscience is telling you shouldn't be doing it, you need to confess it and quit it. But generally speaking, we don't need to come to God with a guilty conscience. That's what we're going to lead into next week. I don't think I'm ever going to dig out of Revelation number 4. I really don't. And I don't want to because it's so important to hear. And it needs to be, again, you can't tell people everything in 50, 55 minutes. You know, you got to, there's so many things that you want to kind of explain. Because I know some people would say, well, yeah, you got to make Jesus the Lord of your life. On some level, that's a correct statement. But when you understand what that really means, what you have to do is accept His Lordship over your life. Everybody see that? All right. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I read that last week. That's a grace verse, right? By grace did God die for all of us. By grace did God die for everybody. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, because was there anybody on the earth that wasn't a sinner? No, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now watch this. See, that verse 8 is really not the point of that. This is not really the point Paul's making. He wrote this to the church. He wrote this to the epistolated folk who's not asking God to do something. They're thanking God for what He did. Follow me? Look at verse 9. Verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, who's we? Me. Say that. Me. Me. Now, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus, that you're not the we. You shouldn't have a lot of glee. But thank God we're going to bring you into some information. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Look, here's the point He's making, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, everybody say much more. Much more. I like that. Much more, having been reconciled, having been what? Reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Listen. If God loved me when I was a sinner, did He all of a sudden turn the faucet off and do like meatloaf and not love me anymore? No, He's 3 out of 3. He wants me. He needs me. He loves me. Don't be sad, because 3 out of 3 will make you glad. Hallelujah. Amen. Jazz, you didn't hear that in Hawaii, did you? That's what got you back here. Your mom and dad think it's because you love, they love you. Amen. Amen. See, the point of this is we're reconciled to God. We're reconciled to God. God's not mad at us. God's not mad at us. Verse 11. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God. We rejoice in Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is again. Here it is again. The right verbiage, the right tense, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. I can't do it any better. I mean, that's all I know. That's all I got. I ran out of bullets in 2014, but I'm not going to run out of bullets anymore because you can't tell that enough. You can't tell that enough because you'll walk out of here and sometime this afternoon, you'll have a guilty conscience. Amen. Sometime this afternoon, the Chiefs are going to beat the Bengals. Amen. And I'm going to say, oh, Dewey's happy about it. Oh. You got Patrick Mahomes and we don't. Amen. Amen. You with me? You can't hear that enough because you live in a world that's full of unbelief. Can you say amen? Boy, we're going to sing a song you're going to like this morning. You're going to like this song. I want us all to sing that together. I'm going to do it. Ready? I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me. One more time. I'm a child of the Most High God, and the Most High God's for me. Amen. Praise God. See, that's God put that in that guy's heart. That didn't come out of his head. That came out of the Spirit of God. Amen. Praise God. There has been a grace revolution in the body of Christ. There has been. But the problem is so many of the grace people haven't attached themselves to the faith people to understand that not only does the grace of God get you into heaven, but the grace of God gets you freedom. Freedom in all areas. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Father, we just give you the glory, honor, and praise. Listen, if you've been listening by radio or internet, you've tuned in for the first time or you've been listening for a while and you never received the Lord Jesus Christ, received His Lordship, recognize that He's God, you're not, and that He died and paid for your sins. He's the only one that could. You can't pay for your sins. You got to receive what Jesus did and acknowledge that He paid for your sins. And if you want to do that this morning, it's the greatest thing you can ever do on December the 31st, 2023. Say this prayer with me. Say, Dear God, I've heard the message. I know about Jesus. I believe that He is the Son of God. I believe He lived, died, and rose again. And I believe this, that He paid for my sins. I couldn't pay for them, but He paid them for me because He loves me. And because He loves me, I'm now His child. I'm a member of the family of God. In Jesus' name. Oh, I know there's people that prayed that. I know that. I know that. I know there's somebody listening by radio or internet. You're struggling emotionally. You're struggling in your emotions. You're having a hard time. You're lonely. You're depressed. You've been isolated and you just don't feel right. I'm rebuking that in the name of Jesus. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come into your very presence and acknowledge that He's inside of you because you know Jesus. Because everything we have is because of Jesus. Just as we are without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I rebuke the devil in the lives of every believer listening in Jesus' name. Now, you got to do the same thing. I can only do so much. Sooner or later, you got to stand up, point your finger at the devil and say, done. I'm a child of the Most High God and the Most High God's for me. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. I wish we could stay all day.